Oh, baby. Welcome, everybody, to DRAWS Radio, where we get them draws. We got a couple callers in today in this lovely evening. Caller number one, why don't you call in so we can get them draws nice and moist?
Hi, yes, my name is Sandra.
Hi, Sandra, how you doing?
Oh, my gosh, I love your voice.
That's what they tell me.
Oh, my gosh. Like, so I'm having, like, relationship issues, like...
Break just, it down for us.
Yeah, like, so I've been dating, like, this girl, and, like, it's been going pretty well.
Oh, sesame timbers, go
sesame
ahead.
Wow, okay. And, yeah, so, like, I would assume that, like, you know, after, like, date two, like, we would get a U-Haul truck, but, like, honestly, like, she just kind of ghosted me, and I just don't really know where to go from here. I text her 3 hours later, she still hasn't texted me back, so I'm, like, freaking out a little bit.
Well, you know what they say, baby girl, if the pussy don't pounce, then you gotta bounce. All right, everybody. Welcome to caller number two. Caller number two, how can we help you at DRAWS Radio?
Hello? Yeah, this is Laverne. Can you hear me?
Laverne?
Hold on, let me turn my radio down. Hello?
Fuck my voice up.
Hello?
Laverne, how you doing? You caught me off
guard. Oh, shit! I finally made it on the fucking radio! Hey, look at Oh my gosh, look, yo, I got on the radio.
Laverne, I'm gonna need you to pull it in.
Oh, you right.
Okay, baby, yeah. How can we help you today, baby?
So, this nigga, like, I met him at the club or whatever.
Excuse me, Laverne, I'm sorry. This is national radio. I need you to watch the voice, okay?
Watch the language. You right. So this gentleman or whatever, like, I met him at the club. He got me a couple drinks. I was like, So, like, we met up, right? And, like, my kid, like, come into my room, like, while he was in mid-stroke, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's right, I got a kid, but hold up.
Okay.
So when I had, like, expressed to him, like, you know, that's my son, you know, he was just like, I don't want to have kids, so I'm just trying to figure out, like, you know, should I keep seeing him, or, like, should I drop?
I mean, Laverne,
it
was.
The dick is bomb, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, no, again.
Oh, sorry, that's right.
National radio.
I got on the fucking radio!
Tell your ratchet ass children to calm that shit down. All right, Laverne. So what you're telling me is you got caught doing a dirty do with your kid walking into the room.
Knocking the boots.
Okay, body rocking, knocking the boots. That's right. Well, what I gotta tell you, Laverne, is you need to get your old ratchet ass off of my radio.
Oh,
listen here, because we're not gonna deal with that in 2020.
Oh.
This is February, the day of the month of love, the month of black love.
Okay.
And on DRAWS Radio, we will not tolerate such ignorance, baby girl.
Ignorance.
So I'm gonna need you to get up off
my
line.
You know what?
Click.
Where's your manager?
Fuck that. Ooh. Bye. We're off. Yo, what's up, y'all? It's the motherfucking Entangle Podcast. We back in this bitch. We here for episode
20. Yeah, we in here. 20-something. Honestly, as 20-year-olds, I don't really know my age.
Yo, because it's like after you hit 25 years old,
you're just
you have,
like,
no idea how old you are anymore.
Give or take. What year is it? Yep. Never mind.
All right. Well, that shut us up real quick.
Way to show my fucking age.
Yo, so once again, we got your favorite co-host. I'm sorry. I love you too, though.
Exactly. No.
Teddy the Bearded Peacock and this motherfucker here for episode 20. Also with everyone's second favorite host.
No, it's the favorite. I mean, yeah.
Tell them who you is, girl.
I'm Rayshawn the Dawn,
yes,
or whatever. I'm not going to say anything about mac and cheese because, you know, the holiday season's over with. So we get into, like, potato salad. What's up with the potato salad?
With the raisins in it.
No, we not doing that this
and
year.
And walnuts.
Oh. Mm-mm.
Potato salad with raisins. No.
The only crunchy thing I need is celery.
Come on, Stacy, with an eye. Okay. I know you feel me.
With an eye.
Yeah, that's what. No. Okay. Yo, we got a special guest here today. We got a special guest on the episode. Go ahead and tell them who you are.
Oh, hello. My name is Marquise, a.k.a. Tequila Keys, a.k.a. This American Negro, a.k.a. Yeah. I don't got no more a.k.a.s, but I just wanted to do that because I never got to do some a.k.a.s.
That's right. You better drop all the names on this motherfucker. Yo, also, like I said it before, Tequila Keys is by far one of the greatest
nicknames.
I'm telling you, that is the happiest Keys you're ever going to meet in your life.
And I'm kind of jealous that I don't have a nickname like that.
I'm kind of curious, though. Like, where did that come from?
Tequila Keys?
Yeah.
I actually don't know. I just know, like, I just started putting random things in front of, like, I stopped going by Marquise all the time. So I've just been like, okay, Keys. And then just things just kind of happen.
I feel
on my other podcast, they call me Chief Keys. The other one's like Tequila Keys. Then you kind of got like,
We get a good mix.
So it's like a weird mix. If I'm like in a professional setting, I'm obviously Marquise.
Oh, of course, but, of course.
That's dope. The duality of the black man.
Yeah.
Honestly, and truly.
Snaps to that.
Come on.
Because, like, sometimes I got my gold teeth in, and other times, I got my gold teeth in. So, Tequila Keys, listen.
Sticking with that one for today. Yeah.
So, yikes. You know, welcome to the Entangle Podcast. We're so glad that we could have this American Negro on the motherfucking show. Yes. This is a beautiful moment. Today, we're going to get into a serious conversation for once. The Entangle Podcast is going to talk some real shit. But before that, we got to handle business. Right, Rashawn and Don?
Business.
All right, handle that shit for us then.
Okay, so study of hoology. Ho, one word. You know.
Depending on where you're from, you can spell it different ways.
Yeah, I like to spell it. I'm a classy ho, so I spell it H-E-A-U-X.
Same here, double time.
That's like some New Orleans type of shit. Like when they be like go or bo, they be like, you know, A-U-A.
Or Boudreaux.
Ooh.
No?
Okay. Okay, cool.
Y'all
stop shaming me. Ology is the study of it. So what we like have guests do. Okay.
Come on. Master's degrees in this bitch.
Know it. But yeah, we like to talk about the study of hoology. It's a way, of course, like a, you know, icebreaker or whatever. But talk about your experience, if you even had a phase, and that can be with like going on excessive dates or sleeping with folk or, you know, just simply just dating, like just getting to know people at an alarming rate.
At an alarming rate. I like how you
and you
that
can be a classy hoe, you can be a nasty hoe, you know, you can be, you know, ain't nobody gonna judge you. Just don't put your business out like that, like that. But
like if you like helicopter dicking in the streets and like no,
sir,
but like
sir, wait, put that thing back where it came from. Tuck it away.
I'm more of like a look back at it kind of person.
Okay.
Like I'm something you'll know, you'll learn is I love like ratchet female hip hop. So Trina is like my favorite female.
Yes,
rapper.
I can take
so
that.
Big like the sun. I hope you got him. I got to let it run. Slap it in my.
Trina the goat for real.
All right.
Yeah, she the badass.
Yeah, she a badass. Okay.
So I think we're ready for the whole story. That was a good introduction. Go ahead, Tequila Keys.
Yes.
I was in a whole phase. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting time because.
Welcome to the club.
Yes. We're all out here.
Gang.
But yeah, I think. I'll just talk about the whole phase in general and what that was like for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a little bit where I was like, all right, let me start trying this dating thing. So I'm doing like this whole serial dating, just like, all right, let me see if this person's interesting. Let me see if this, because I never gave myself the chance to just do that in college because I was like, I got bills to pay. Those loans are in my name. So I can't be hoeing like the way I want to hoe.
Well, you wasn't fucking for the bills? That's what I did in college.
Honestly, I should have.
You should have. Like,
that's a
this nigga little bomb. I ain't gonna hold. Like,
I slang some dick for a light bill.
What?
Sling a dick for dinner.
Hey!
Now, doing it for dinner, I have done that before.
Yo!
I have no shame.
Look, right, like I said, don't have no shame.
No shame. But I think during a time when I was serial dating, which was a year and a half ago, ending around a couple months ago.
Okay. Reformed.
Reform. I'm a reformed hoe, H-E-A-U-X, over here.
Mm.
Welcome.
But yeah, I was serial dating a little bit, and then I was doing my toxic trait. I was a ghoster. Because it was just like, I figured out if I didn't like this person, and then liked this person, and I was like, I'm a Virgo, so sometimes I'm just like, I don't like this.
I
like go right into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I started seeing this person, and it was a smooth 5-6 weeks. Pies were bought. Dates were bought. We went to a pumpkin patch.
Oh, that's like precious.
The ultimate, like.
How come you don't take me to pumpkin patches?
That's
go ahead, Tequila Keys, while I awkwardly stare at
you. Right, I was like,
you know
I feel
so
the
I'm
gonna fucking
keep going,
pressure.
Keep
as your voice goes up,
pressure right now.
Yeah.
And so, like, while we were doing this whole thing and stuff, like, it was cool. I was really feeling this person, and then. Why is Elmo a hoe right now?
Sometimes it just
kind of
happens, like,
huh? Oh, tickle me, Elmo, with the face ass.
I don't like it anymore. It's
No, because I was not tickled after the fact that this person went and ghosted.
Shit. Okay.
But I guess it was like a taste of my own medicine, because I was just like, all right, is this the way that I'm supposed to go about it? And I realized maybe I shouldn't do that, because I realized that ghosting actually, that has very bad psychological effects on people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was kind of realizing what it was like on that, on the receiving end of now being a ghoster, because like everybody gets this idea of who Keese is versus like who the actual person is. And the idea, like, you see me on social media, but like the real Keese is messy. Like every human's messy.
Yeah.
So like that was just a part of me where I was just like, oh, this is what this feeling is like when I shut myself off or I decide to just cold turkey somebody.
Yeah.
So for me, I was just like, maybe this isn't the best thing to do all the time. Mm. And so I became a lot more hyper-conscious about people's feelings and stuff like that. But now I was like going around, I was like, all right, now it's down to two people. Okay, let me break it down just to this one person. So it was like dwindling down more and more and just trying to figure out what that was.
Yeah.
There are still bits of me where I'm just like, I still want to kind of hoe around.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But it's also just like there's like that fun idea that it's just like one person.
Yeah.
That's just like, oh, good morning. Oh, how was your day? Oh, good night. Like, so it's kind of, I like the consistency. There are times where I'm just like, I do want to just see what else is out there. Yeah. There's a whole world out there.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to just have one person?
Yo,
we often have that conversation time. We're both attractive people, so it's like,
I'm a bad bitch.
Right.
So you better say it. You know, not attractive. I'm a bad bitch.
You see how I'm working with. You see what I'm working with.
You're lucky I got no hair. Shit. Fuck y'all think this is.
Okay. Bang.
Pinkies up. It's that snob hop.
Classy. Mm.
But my question though, because you said that like it dwindled down. Like you went from having a stable of hoes to like now having to now having, you know, 3 to 2 to 1. But I think for us, our generation, we get confused and conflicted that like dating is supposed to happen. When you're in the dating phase, you're supposed to entertain multiple people.
Right.
So that you can learn who it is that you actually want and the traits that you want or that you like or dislike.
Right. Yes.
But we equate that to like, nah, you being a hoe because you out here talking to multiple people. How the fuck am I supposed to figure out
what it is that you want?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I like the hoe-ology story. I don't slut shame, don't hoe shame. Because I'm like, if you are comfortable in your sexuality, I'm a very sex positive person.
Yeah,
like, I think the world needs to be like that a lot more.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, no, you're embracing your sexuality. It's a very human thing. It's a very like a connection kind of thing, an exchange of energy. So I think people need to have that, because that now gets me into like this idea of like me and one of my close friends were talking about it. But like, what does intimacy look like in different forms when you are dating? Mm-hmm. Is it just like there's the physical intimacy, but then I also have somebody that I'm intimate with mentally,
mm-hmm.
and then somebody like spiritually and creatively, like those are different forms of intimacy. So like, what does that look like when you evolve more and more into this person?
And then how do you, because then how do you take all of those pieces? Because that's what it is. Like being a hoe is like, oh, this is something that I pull from you that I thoroughly enjoy,
mm-hmm.
but you don't got this trait, which I get from this other person.
Right.
And then finally we get to a point where it's like, yo, I found the one.
I see what you did there.
What is happening?
Give me that. What is happening? That was smooth as shit.
I was like, what is happening?
Y'all missed the eye contact.
Wasn't that smooth?
I'm here for that.
Who's about to get them draws tonight? I'm about to get them draws tonight.
I don't really know how to get them draws
tonight. I'm about to get them draws tonight.
I gotta look down. I look somewhere else.
I told you, yo, that Brent Fires album came out. You about to get pregnant.
I know. I'm like a Scorpio baby. Fuck! Scorpio, no. It's like, no, there's nothing wrong with Scorpios, but also.
Water signs.
Yeah.
But.
We're interesting people.
Okay.
I'm an
Earth. But I mean, I think. Thank you for sharing your whole story.
Yeah.
Oh, no, thanks. I like that icebreaker.
Yeah,
that,
it's beautiful, man. Because people get so anxious. And like, when you talk about your most vulnerable moment, which is like being a thought. You
can talk
about, especially as a woman too, it's like you can't really talk about that. Like, it's so taboo. It's like, oh, you know, a guy can be a thought, but like a girl, ooh, you know, I don't know about all that.
That's how they say it.
Like,
you said you're a black woman too, so like,
I was
in my little deep dive of Janet Jackson recently, and it's just been really
Janet Jackson and Teyana Taylor, because she's like the new age, like honestly, being truly, sexual. Woo.
And I mean, I think also like there's the stigma too, because sometimes we had a conversation, Rashonda, Don, and I were talking about how the classification of being like a bi woman, How it's like, oh, you're just selfish.
And
you're nasty and you're just taking you just taking it all.
Tired ass narrative. Yeah. At your grown age of 2020 and you still believe that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so
I got
like,
questions.
Niggas is dusty.
I like to say raggedy.
Raggedy
works too.
Real raggedy.
Or niggas is ashy.
Yes.
Oh,
you got a smooth ashy Larry around you? The worst. I'm sorry.
With the baby powder.
Give a LeBron like.
But also, you should buy Netter Gold. www.ntrgld.com.
Yeah.
Stop being ashy.
Yo, you know what? Before we get into, because I had another major question. Oh, I know. Somebody say you ashy, you always got to check.
It's like when somebody
puts chapstick on and you all of a sudden lick your lips.
I did it. Yeah. And the mention of chapstick just makes you go.
I just be like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm,
but, you're like, yo, okay. I forgot to mention, and Rashawn reminded me this morning, yo, it's been one full year of the Entangled Podcast.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
Woo! We are here. Grah, 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 grah
not giving up on each other and just like
fuck that.
Really, no, wow. Wow.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, just but, keep going.
Yeah. But so, you know, with talking about the development and your own growth in your hoe phase, your hoedom, if you will, how, because this episode today is about black love and how we pour black love into our community and how it's a revolutionary act. Right. And so I want to hear a little bit, we want to hear a little bit from you, just one, about what you do, but how do you pour love into your own people in your own community?
Okay. So for me, it's always been like intentionality is like the word that comes to my head when it comes to stuff like that. And I talk about it more so in the spaces that I kind of curate that allow us to not only challenge thoughts that we've had, but also how do we hold each other accountable? How do we push each other? Because I think a lot of people think they over romanticize love a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, all right, well, here's this idea of I'm supposed to love this person unconditionally. No. You right. love somebody with conditions. You have boundaries that you have. You have different restrictions that you have with different people. You keep space depending on who it is. Familial love versus like friend love versus romantic, non-romantic. Like, what do these things look like? So for me, particularly within my community, I use it by engaging in critical conversation. And so whether that's me creating a community discussion night, even like my first podcast at home, Dear Reading, like that was the first time the black community in our hometown actually had felt like a black voice was once again present, because it's 78% Latino, 13% black, and then everybody else is in my hometown. And it's a small city type joint like that, too. So it's just like, everybody kind of knows everybody. We going down to the same bodega to go grab the same meal, whatever the case may be. But we realized like there's also like this anti-blackness that was going on, and so for us, what it meant to work
13%, I'm sure.
Right. Well, yeah. And so for us, we were just like, all right, well, the Afro-Latino population doesn't really bang with us as much. Then you have the Latino population who. You know, they're anti-black. And I'm black and Puerto Rican, so, like, I see it where my dad's side of the family, too. And I'm just like, ghetto. I love them.
So interesting, because it's, like, the realm of, like, you know, any type of Afro-Latino, like, they're just really, really light or really, really dark.
They hit every range.
Yeah, spectrum of, like, color.
And that's what's interesting. Pantone coloring.
Yeah, because it's, like, if you see my family, you'll see the black portion of the Puerto Rican side, and then you'll see the white side. The Taino don't really come in the mix, really, in the middle of it, except my Titi Kelly, but that's different. So it's just like very interesting to kind of see how that kind of works and how love is done in different communities. And so it's like the way my dad's side of family from Puerto Rico show their love is much different than how I grew up as a black American. And so it was interesting for me to kind of get into that space where I was like, all right, well, I didn't see what this idea of black love was in my home, because that was just a single parent. It was just my mom and then five kids. Like, What is love?
What is love? Yeah.
Yeah, what is love?
Love
like?
Is work. Yes, love is. Right.
And so she loved us in a different way, mm-hmm. right? Because she had to. It was four boys and one girl. Like,
oh, yeah. So that's a and are you the you're the oldest?
Middle.
Middle.
Middle oh, okay. of the five. Yeah. It's actually my sister's birthday today. Fun fact.
Hey,
yeah.
Shout out sissy. Yeah. Woo! On, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Bust it open. Oh wait, well, no, that's your sister. I'm sorry. Right.
We're not gonna throw no okay. Somebody's mom.
Right. Oh my God.
Well, that means
they you know love you. You're right. She got a man, so it's fine.
Happy birthday, sissy.
Yes.
Love you, Asia. But yeah, so I think that was always like different because I had to mm-hmm. find my own community to foster with this sense of love, the idea of love that I imagined it to be. So yeah. I love my family, but we grew up depending on each other and grew up through trauma mm-hmm. versus where me and my friends learned to love each other through. Hey, we are all creating this space. So mm-hmm. I was just like, as I grew into more of my identity, I'm like, all right, well, what does a loving of a black space look like? And I got that in college when you're forced to reckon with your yes. black ass identity and what that looks like. I went to a PWI, so I was just like.
Same.
Same.
Hey. In this yeah,
so couldn't get no money from an HBCU. I don't want to shout that out.
You
but
know what? That's just another story. That's a
conversation. That's a different conversation. Yeah. That's a different episode. That's a,
yeah.
Let's talk about it.
broke ass college. No, just kidding.
Sorry. Wow. Yeah. But it was like interesting to see how that community and how I became more intentional with that community because we were forced to, mm-hmm. but also because they were just, it just, you simply got it as a black person surrounded in central Pennsylvania and Confederate flags and shit. So, like, yeah. Yes. So for me, I was always.
Even in
like,
Reading?
Oh, not Reading. Okay. Not, well, not the inner city. Then you have like the outer ring yeah, where like yeah. Taylor Swift is from and shit.
Yeah.
And then right. you have central Pennsylvania, which is like Alabama, essentially. Yeah, because yeah, Reading's only 45 minutes from Philly.
Not that far
at all. And then you have 2 hours.
Right.
Trump Central.
Right.
So it's a different kind of love through that, too. Mm-hmm. So I was always intentional of just like, all right, how do we sustain ourselves? How do we push other people? How do we all get to the same framework and lens to talk about our black ass experience and know that there's differences in those two?
Yes.
So that was like my long-winded answer on like how I start curating.
Mm-hmm. Well, because then we know you have your platform, right? This mm-hmm. American Negro.
Right.
And so how did...
Which is dope, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Little flex, don't be I humble, nigga.
Nah, it's just because people like listening to stuff and like it has a little impact. I'm still like, I geek out.
Still grasping it. Yeah, definitely. But so then how do you communicate that in your platform of... Like, even with the podcast, because I think Rashawn could probably speak better to it, because, like, shout out to her, the Integral podcast was actually her idea.
Oh, gosh.
Leave it to black women.
I really don't like this attention, but go ahead.
Are you sweating?
No. Yeah, right. Like,
okay, what did you I got a little right
yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh.
But, you know, we feel as though, like, I think the way that we pour love into our community is by creating safe mental spaces to have difficult discussions about kind of where we are and the need for talking about our mental health.
Oh, yeah.
In a lighthearted way.
Yeah. You know, I mean, speak on it.
No! No. So just kind of in my little background, I come from so my dad's a deacon mm-hmm. and also a military background.
Cool.
So my dad served 24 years and it was just like I was in the church 3 times a week. Up to when I was like 18 years old.
Yeah.
So like literally when I went to college to a PWI, I lost my fucking mind. And it's the same thing. Like I just kind of had to navigate as a premature adult because like at 18, you're not really an adult. Like you could say that you're.
Teen is still in your name.
Exactly.
Stop giving us so much credit. We crazy.
Right. Like you got to join the military at this age. Like I don't even know how to do my taxes at that point. You want me to do what?
I still ball my toilet tissue up instead of wrapping it properly a human being. Some people do that. That's a real thing.
When I got to college and realized some people still had their moms come to my roommate's parents came and like did their laundry for them. That was a culture shock to me because niggas been doing this since I came out the womb.
It was trial and error. You know, like I broke a washing machine and then, you know, couldn't touch it for a little while. And my parents said, wash your clothes in the tub. But, you know, like.
Do you have to hang dry your clothes?
Super trial and error. Wow.
Yeah, but you went through it.
So I was in that trial. But go ahead. Proceed.
And we're walking.
We're walking. Oh gosh, what were we talking about? Why we started the podcast? Oh yeah. But no, it was just interesting to like navigate just what it means to be black, because a lot of my friends, they all went to like Howard and Hampton and North Carolina A&T.
Oh,
I am the
the brunch blacks.
I'm the black sheep. Yeah. I felt like I was a black sheep. So I couldn't, I had to stop comparing and contrasting my experience with my friends and just create my own as well. Mm-hmm. So, and I felt like the podcast was an opportunity. It always seemed like every episode like stemmed from a argument that we had or a disagreement that we had. So we're like, you know what? Instead of just like talking about it, just me and you, let's put a microphone in front of us.
Right.
And somebody, it may touch somebody's heart. It may touch somebody's heart.
But then also give other people a space to air. Like, you know, we're people who we create a comfortable space just from our energy.
Yeah,
our
I love that energy in this room.
And
yeah.
So outside of our podcast, like whenever we host an event or we host like a meetup, it creates a space where people just want to share and feel like very homey. Like, you know, it's important that, I think, you know, one of the big reasons why black folk don't want to go to therapy is because it's an uncomfortable situation. Nigga, I don't know you. I don't want to talk to you about shit. Right. And so when you get people that create a space of comfort, they're more willing to open up. And we're always willing to listen. But to a fault, you know, it's one of our challenges of, like, we're always willing to listen. But we take on so much shit from other people.
Oh, y'all the rock friends. I'm the rock friend.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the same boat where, like, even at home, like I told you, like, the first podcast, like, it's actually coming back next week, so be on the lookout.
Okay.
Dear Redding is back.
But
Dear Redding, it did the same thing for a lot of people. A lot of black folk were kind of talking about, like, oh, shit, like, you are also feeling this, and we're also feeling the same kind of thing.
Because we live in isolation.
Yeah.
When it comes to that shit, man.
And so it's, like, interesting to have that. And so even for us, like, for me, I'm always having conversations. Like, community discussion nights are just, like, how do you reckon with your identity? How do you... what is black mental health, and like, what do those intersections look like? And so for me, like, when it comes to stuff like that and curating those spaces, it's always like, how do I reimagine the people that we see every single day? And that's for me, like, me as an educator, like, I tell my students all the time, like, I'm not the only educator you're going to get in your life. I'm not your first educator. I'm not going to be your first therapist. Your first therapist is either going to the hair salon or you're going to the barbershop. You got the people on the stoop who is talking to you every single day, giving you free game. Like, you got the OGs on the block. So when you think about the people who are really their first educators that you get in contact with,
that is so true.
It's like, how do you look at them, see them through a different light? Like, I had the same barber for 15 years.
Come on.
Damn. Like, hold on. That's loyalty.
You know, he was my babysitter. And when I was younger, he knew me as Snot Nose Keys.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Looking at Tequila Keys.
He looks at me now. There,
Tequila Keys can become Snot Nose Keys based on how much tequila he has.
It depends. You put This Is Us in front of me, and I'm Snot Nose all the way.
Oh, like, yes.
I've never seen it.
Uncultured.
I'm a nigga.
Sterling K. Brown. Beth and Randall are goals. So mind your business. That's what you get. Brujaria.
Yo,
that's what that was.
You
said exotico?
Don't shout things out.
We're gonna have subtitles. Wait, is that possible? Can we have that on the podcast?
Who gonna translate?
Transcripts. But yeah, so I was just kind of figure out different ways to kind of reimagine people that we might have deemed as invisible or didn't look at the same kind of way.
Yeah,
because
that's real.
Yeah, I think it's important to start looking at humanize the people. It's like the people on the block. I see the same people who try to sell me weed every single day on the block, and they're like, "You want some, cousin?" I'm like, "Nah, I'm good." And then he's like, "All right, cousin, how's your day going?"
Yeah,
me and him. I make sure I leave at least 10 minutes early because I know I'm about to have a 7-minute conversation with this man.
Yeah.
Plus, that nigga got game. I guarantee he kicking some game to you too.
He is. Yeah. And I'm sitting there, I'm just like, yo, he is a dope person. Like, sitting there, just
a dope person because he sells dope.
Oh,
okay. Sorry.
I see what you did there.
I'll stop talking.
Okay. Nah, it's okay.
I'll just turn my microphone
off. Wait, that's the inner. No, you're doing great.
Did I get that?
Did
I do that?
You're doing great.
Hey, once again, say it with me, bad bitch. No, you're supposed to say it.
Oh, sorry.
I had no idea. Exactly. I needed like
some
actionable cards, like bad bitch.
You know how they do.
You know, whatever.
I'm sorry.
But did you see the episode on Blackish where they were talking about black hair and how like that was like their way of like, oh, this is my therapist, and I talk to her about everything.
Mm-hmm. I love Jill Scott during that episode.
Yo, shout out to Jilly from Philly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jilly that was such Philly. A love. Mm,
the
episode.
Way she worked that microphone.
You know, sir.
Sorry.
Stop, that's a recurring joke we make on our podcast.
Listen, because I was like,
was
our one co-host be like,
why? You got her.
Hey, and I'll be like, oh, because yeah.
You need a tissue.
Yes, a towel.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But,
shut my mouth wide open.
That's
help.
But so then, because we talk about like humanizing people.
Yes.
And so part of that, we're curious because we've had a conversation on multiple occasions about overcoming our own trauma that impacts us or impedes us spreading love, not only to each other, but like with people in our community, you know, like. But we're new to Philly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I guess at this point, like, we can't really say that no more. We about to be 3 years in. But, like.
Yeah, I'm six months in.
Oh, wow.
I mean, but you're a little closer. Like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got family and stuff out here.
Yeah,
so
I'm
like,
Jersey. We was like, skirt.
Oh, yeah.
I got family in Mount Airy, but that's not really. I mean, it's Philly. But
yeah, you like Germantown area?
Yeah.
The rich blacks.
Uncle Bobby's is
wow.
out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I equate Germantown and Mount Airy with like the.
And my great aunt is
culture
there.
And really? Intelligent.
Oh.
The culture,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
I was going to say, there's some hood spots.
Rich. No. I mean, like, rich and.
It's like not
like wealthy and knowledge. I equate those to like the like super educated.
Yeah.
I will say that.
My Jesus is never going to be white. I only say that because one of my best friends, he lives in Germantown and he grew up in there. So like his parents, you walk to his house and it's like a black museum.
Yeah.
Like, only black artists are in there. Exactly. Only images of black Jesus. That one.
They got a vase with cotton in it.
Yeah.
One of my good friends, he's from there. He lived right next door to Sonia Sanchez and I'm about to plug that scarf right there. Go ahead and check out Broad Street Soccer Club on Instagram and go get you a soccer scarf. These joints is fire. Fire.
I'm here for it.
Right.
Yeah. Just trying to promote my friends.
I'm here for it.
Put us all on. But no, we talk about, you know, we have a constant conversation of how, and Rashawn even mentioned how, you know, often these conversations in our podcast come from our own arguments. and our arguments stem from traumatic things, events, not only in our past relationships, but also trauma from like what we've learned from our parents on how to love and how to engage in intimacy with our family.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're going to air some dirty laundry. Like what is some trauma that you have worked to unlearn thus far? I think
as far as, you know, to be loved and from being loved, what prevents you from being loved or how to show love?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that really it's a mixture of living as the middle child, it's a mixture of not being my dad until last year, and also just a mixture of also the way my mom and like the value she instilled in us too, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember growing up, depending on the kid, she said, you depend on no nigga or you depend on no bitch. Mm-hmm. You make sure you have your own stuff together before you try to bring somebody else into that. And my mom's like the matriarch head of household, so anytime somebody was in, she was the breadwinner in the family, and she made sure to do that to make sure her kids were good, no matter who she brought into the house, right? And so for me, right away, as soon as I turned 16, I was like, all right, well, I don't want to keep adding this pressure onto my mom. And so for me, I always like shrunk myself a bit, so I took up the least amount of space. And so while me taking up the least amount of space, that also he's snapping. Like closed me off at the same time, because now I'm just like, how do I show up for myself financially? How do I just get to the next goal? So my next goal was, all right, I got a job. All right, I got a job. I pay my own phone bill.
Yep.
I pay my own phone bill. I get through school. I graduate high school. I got my diploma. Got my diploma, went straight to college. Got graduated from college. Immediately after college, I had a job. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things I looked at as things as I had to do and not being able to live in that moment and celebrate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that comes in the form of friendships. That comes in the form of relationships, whether romantic or not. So like, for me, I wasn't always the closest to my family because I had to find my own lane.
Mm-hmm.
And before, I used to be a super people pleaser. So I'm just like, middle into high school, I played basketball because I wanted to have some type of relationship with my mom, because that's what she did in school. But I realized my heart was still in music. My heart was still in theater. My heart was still in dance. That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I told her, beginning of high school, I was just like, I kind of want to choose my cello over basketball.
Come on.
You know, that's more like a bass, but you try.
Yeah, I know. Because I play the bass.
But yeah, like, he's a bass player, too. Bass, so that's why you y'all string instrument folk.
Yeah, you know. But the Orky Dorks.
I was a band geek, too.
I'm not sure. Okay.
She played the fucking
clarinet, dude. Clarinet. Wait, I probably don't like to say that out loud, but like, I mean, whatever.
Blow that clarinet, girl.
Inappropriate. Sorry.
I was like snapping my ass off, though, because that's kind of in the position I was for a different reason.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm the oldest.
Yes.
And then my parents had triplets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I was seven. Needs. And my parents in no way communicated that this was what I had to do, but I just felt like I didn't want to be in the way, you know? So all my issues were irrelevant because my parents had three newborn children that they had to take care of.
Yeah.
So it was like, all right, yo, I'm freaking the fuck out. I'm failing all my classes in school, but the triplets got to eat. So, mom, you want me to cook dinner? Like, you know, like,
you take on extra that you don't need to.
And I didn't need to. I tell my parents, I said, like, nigga, you do not have to do that. Like,
right. But it's like that. But as a kid, like, you're not thinking any differently either.
That's how I processed it.
Yeah. That was it. Go ahead.
Yeah. But so, like, in my relationships, I refuse to, like, if there's something I'm struggling with, and this is also something that I equate to just being a black man, but if there's something that I know I'm struggling with, I'm just like, fuck it, I'll figure it out.
You don't want to be a burden.
Yeah, because, and I'll constantly, even today, I'll still tell myself, people got it worse, like, all the time. I'll play the comparison game of, like, damn, like,
I cut that shit out real quick. I was like, no, this is my story.
Yeah, and I get it. And I use my story to help other people as well. But I'm also like, I know at the end of the day, there's people who do have it worse than
I
do.
Yeah,
and
so
like, I got to stop, like, it, like, put up or shut up. Like, it's time to get, like, put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just now kind of learning. And because of Rashawn, I'm just now kind of learning how to not burden other people, but at least express my burden.
I would say, and learning not to be uncomfortable with that either. Mm-hmm. Like, I would only ever cry in front of one person. Like, that was my really close friend, Jessica, that I would ever cry in front of. So I always knew, she always knew, like, me and her, like, anytime I would go to her house to poop, I go to her house to help people.
Hey, that's trust.
Like, that's your safe haven. Yeah, okay?
I left.
Yes.
I ain't shitting on everybody's toilet.
That's because she goes, what you here for? You food, cook, food, poop, what are you here?
Yeah, that's your safe haven.
But it was also in that moment where she would always just be like, you know, because she always knew when I was bullshitting. She always knew. She was like, oh, you're being extra happy today. You're overcompensating your happiness now. I'm already just like a perky person as it is after coffee. disclaimer. But she would always be able to tell, like, something was off.
Mm-hmm.
So she would always cuss me out. And I always did that thing where I always had to act like I was okay and everything was okay, whether that was for family, whether that was friends. And it was always like this idea of Marquise. They always thought I had my shit together regardless. Mm. So I felt the need to uphold what that looks like.
Yeah.
But upholding that also allowed me to keep a healthy distance from people because they didn't have to see. Like I mentioned it earlier, you get Keith on social media, this idea, but you never get to know the real, like, who am I behind closed doors? What are my trash habits? What are my good habits?
What makes me
happy and stuff like that.
And then when you crumbled, it, like, people look at you like, oh my gosh, it's like this hero is like, what did happen?
Yeah.
This is Achilles tendons, it's kryptonite, I don't know what to do. And it's just like, I am also human too.
Right.
Like, I understand I'm always like that rock person, but like also.
Yeah, like I need that too. Space. Yeah, but the thing is, I also have to recognize, like, I didn't allow for that space either for them to know, like, all right, well, Marquise does this. I suffered in silence.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to.
Right. Yeah. And that's something I had to learn. And that's something I told myself for. I don't look at it as like, I don't do like New Year's resolutions. I don't believe in that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm more like, let me tell, what do I want my year of 23 to look like, 24 to look like?
Mm-hmm.
So for this year, it's really just allowing myself to be vulnerable. With friendships that I've had the same friends for 15 years.
That's a blessing.
Yeah, like, it's cool. I get to still say, like, the friends I met in sixth grade, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, are still the same friends I have now. I live with one of my best friends now that I've known since sixth grade.
That's
like, it's cool to have that.
Yeah.
And so she gets to see, like, ooh, Marquise.
And tell you when your shit stink.
Yeah. Right.
And gets to know you on a deeper level than what you would initially have allowed her to see. So.
Yeah, and that's been the beauty of it. The more I come into myself, the more I come into my blackness, the more I come into, like, all these different identities, that law of attraction starts to come into itself, too. So, like, I'm also allowing space for intentional space, like there's a thing with like in the world that we live in as podcasters, a lot of people just feel as if they know us.
Because we share. Because again, this is vulnerability.
Right.
You know? And a lot of people don't have that space. And I realized for us, even for Black men thinking about getting into relationships, once, even if you have a close girlfriend and they allow that space, you think that's what love is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of become like a succubus for love. Yeah. And you think that this is the person for you because you don't get to have that space with your boys. And so for me, I learned to allow myself to also have that space with other men because I always like kept myself guarded due to not knowing what a father-son relationship looked like. Mm-hmm. So you'll see, like, even in my close friend group, a lot of them are all girls. But I've also became a lot more emotionally intelligent. But when I got to college, I found like a super good, solid group of guy friends, black male friends to have with me.
Like equate or like better, like what you got going on.
And so it's dope because my friend group, we got gay people, we got bisexual people, poly people, straight people. Like it's an eclectic group of guy friends. And you're just like, how do you all fit? But there's always that common denominator if we're all kind of doofy at the same time. Yeah.
But you also need that diversity to just kind of like open your mind, open just to new experiences.
How have you learned, Madam Co-host, I guess, what is some trauma that you had to unlearn thus far?
I wouldn't really say trauma, but I definitely struggle with my own insecurities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being the oldest of a family who military, religious, and just being the oldest, and I also carry my dad's name on top of that. Mm-hmm. I always struggle with the perfectionist syndrome of just like when I'm doing great, I'm like top of my class, or I'm in ROTC, I'm playing sports, and I'm all this, and I hurt myself, and I like can't play basketball no more. I get super depressed. Like I just get really down on myself, and I just often am in my head thinking, am I good enough? And then when it comes to my relationships, it's not even other like women that I feel like I'm competing myself with. If I fail as a partner, I feel like, am I good enough to be in a relationship? So I constantly...
imposter syndrome's a bitch.
Yeah.
I feel that.
But
so it holds me back from a lot of things. But I think, you know, again, like I have a partner who just like helps me bring that... just helps me through that.
Oh, you talking about little old me?
Okay. Such a ratchet hoe.
I love him.
But yeah, like it's great too because like my partner sees the potential that I have. So it's just like, no, we're not going to fall into this deep, dark depression. Oh, let's get ourselves out of this.
Right.
So.
But it's a thing of, you know what's hard, yo? And something that I've just learned maybe 3 weeks ago is how we individually cope, you know, whether it be death, depression, pain, stress, anxiety, whatever, you know.
It's very different.
And that comes with the trauma that we were taught or the trauma that we had to deal with in our past. So, like, because of that, I'm a person who it's like, fuck it. I've had 10 minutes to process my emotions.
And he just goes.
Now I gotta act.
Right, and then he just goes.
That's me.
Yeah.
I always tell myself, I give myself 0.7 seconds to do it. I'm hitting myself. Anything and after that, you're doing it to yourself.
I caught myself telling a student that, too, because she was stressing out about a situation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, like, I get it. I understand that, you know, we mirror in that respect. Give yourself some time. Like, you have to set a goal for yourself. Like, I set goals of how long... I get to feel the emotion.
Yeah. Because
before it was like 2 minutes. Thug tear, keep fucking pushing. Like that's where it was.
This man literally timed me, was just like, all right, you got 30 minutes.
Nah.
Because that's where it was.
And we're going to revisit this conversation.
Yeah.
Nah, but I feel that, like, for me, that's one of my things of I cope. When I have to, when I am, and it's something I saw my mom do, and I realized, I'm becoming Nicole.
Ain't that shit scary? Same. Oh, my God. Yes. We're all at some level.
Like, you're
Nicole, Brenda, and Calvin equally.
Oh.
Terry.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I'm my mother.
Anytime you deal with something, it turns into, I work. to like, because that's where I felt validated.
Yeah.
I'm not in school anymore, so I'm just like, all right, well, how do I fill up that validation of just like, oh, I know I just did that. My work is how I would cope with either loss or just being frustrated or something instead of actually letting myself process. I was like, let me do something to give myself a quick gratification and
keep going.
I felt that when you were like, you barely had a time to really celebrate yourself. I recently, was it yesterday? Where I was just like, hey, like you, I forgot what you did. That's really bad for me to say that. But you had did something great. And I was like, yeah, you should celebrate. We should do a... we should do a road trip. Do you remember that? I was like, oh, we should do a vacation just for yourself. And you were like,
because everything I do is great.
Yeah. Anyway. Because I was like, oh, yeah. But I was like, you should take like a road trip just for yourself. And you were like, I don't have room for that. Or I don't have time for that.
And oh, like, yeah. We were talking about that. I was like, I'm not doing good enough. I don't deserve a road
trip. You were like, I'm not doing good enough. And I was just like,
she was like, Elijah, take a vacation. Yeah. I was like, I don't deserve a vacation. I haven't worked hard enough. Which is crazy. When I hear myself say it, I'm like, yo, but
thank you. From the receiving end, it sounds horrible.
But also,
do fucking better.
I'm trying to. That's why I don't deserve vacation. So
you are entitled to rest. You are entitled to treat yourself. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Yep.
Okay.
But
because you did well.
That's great. It's cool.
A bravo, Zulu.
You better receive that compliment. You better receive it and enjoy that.
I revel in it, but I compliment myself every waking moment. Like the inner voice, my inner voice, like constantly, even right now while I'm talking, my inner voice is like, damn, Elijah, you that nigga. Yo, you the shit. Yo, you a badass bitch. Everything you do is fucking successful. Like, that's how I think on a regular basis.
I'm here for it.
Right. It's like my inner monologue.
Yeah.
But on top of that, it's like, damn. Inner Elijah said that. Outer Elijah got hustle and make sure that inner Elijah keeps saying.
Yeah, you got it.
Like, I'm always trying to impress myself.
Yep, that's what I'm about to say.
I'm trying to impress myself. You know, like,
it works.
Because I can impress other people, that's fine. But like, my standards are a little higher.
No, and it's great.
Yeah.
Do you, boo boo?
If I could suck my own dick, I would. What?
Sir.
So,
That is radical self-love.
Right.
I don't even know where that came from. Gazoontite. Is it allergies? You allergic to bees?
I got no allergies.
Are there dandelions in here? I don't know. That shit's crazy.
This is funny now. You talking.
How do you. Yo, but so. Because we were talking about. So, in terms of the past trauma, what is. Who's like your love guru? Who has taught you how to. Teach me how to love. Show me the way to surrender my heart.
Why am I Girl, I'm this so artist? Lost.
Teach me how to music love.
Music soul child. I was like, who is this? That really irked me just now.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I saw it on your face.
Oh.
But who has been like your love guru? I think for the same amount of, because my parents didn't instill the kind of the be on your own. Like, they didn't instill that in me. It was just something I learned on my own from being the oldest child. But I would say that my parents, my mom, my dad, my Aunt Cinda, and my Nana, my dad's mom, those are the four that have taught me how to truly navigate instilling love not only in myself but in my community. And so I'm curious, like, who is your... who's your love guru? Isn't that a movie? It's like a corny ass movie too.
It's not. First of all, it's not corny, and it's with Mike Myers or Michael Myers from Austin Powers.
Yes.
So you know anything that he's in is great. I mean, so don't say that's corny.
Whatever. Who your love guru, nigga?
So mom, dad, as well. Even though my mom can be, because we're so much alike, I could also learn so much from her. Even though we butt heads a lot.
Yeah, y'all do.
Whew.
In this corner.
My pop, because he was able to just take on another child as his own. And I think that's like really big for a black man to do that. And Michelle Obama.
Oh.
That's my mother. She don't know it yet, but she my mother.
Bar. Just like how I'm actually the missing child from the Smith family.
From the Will Smith?
Yeah, they had me very early. And
I was about to say, they already got Trey, the Forgotten.
I'm confused. You're not Trey.
You're right.
Man, all that nigga do is play video games, yo. Get the fuck out of here.
He had a football scholarship, right?
Nah, he ain't getting no scholarship.
Okay, yeah.
His parents
can pay for it, right?
Also, I'm like fully against that. You know, back in the day, Romeo got a basketball scholarship. But like, this nigga's dad could buy the school.
Right.
Like, That's not cool.
I'm confused.
I'm sorry. It was a quick tangent. I'm whatever. Go ahead.
Love Guru. Love yes. Guru. Love Guru. Love Guru. So my pop-up Leroy, mm-hmm. He taught me like a lot, and just seeing how him and my grandma Joan interacted with each other, he's like, "Damn woman, go give me that."
Yes. And she'd be like, "Leroy, what are you doing?" Oh my God, wait. You
got the one. Hold on, we might have a second skit on the episode.
I want a cartoon version of your grandma. Yo,
it just cracked me up because my papa would sit there, and it was either watching some science fiction or his western. So I'm just sitting there, just like,
"Wait, can we act this out now? Can you be?" Can you be Leroy?
I'll be Leroy.
Rashad, you be the wife. Go ahead. All right, wait. So let me set the stage for y'all real quick. Papa Leroy watching, he watches some old Western movies, some old Cowboys and Indians.
Stuff, yeah.
And what's grandma's name?
Joan.
Okay. Joan. Oh. Grandma Joan. Mama, what did you refer to her as?
That was Grandma Joan.
Grandma Joan.
My mom, Grandma.
Yeah, Grandma Joan. So Grandma Joan was like, "Yo, I need you to take this trash out. Come on, get this damn trash out."
Why is the TV so right? loud?
Action.
Why is the TV so loud? I can barely
hear.
Woman,
you know I can't hear.
You know
woman.
I can't hear. What you say now? Let me turn my hair near.
Big head. Big head. I know you can hear. You big head. You know I love you. But I'm going to keep that TV loud.
Yeah, okay. All right, go ahead and enjoy, okay?
No, woman, I'm going to sit here and mind my business.
What'd you say?
Where's my beer? Where's my beer?
Corona, Bud Light.
Corona, Bud Light.
So everybody knows that was all the black fathers drinking.
That and the Newport. Newport.
Yo, okay.
Yo, rest in peace, Papa Leroy. I fucked with you.
God.
He went out on his deathbed cussing people out. It cracked me up.
Cracking up right now.
Oh my gosh.
But so, Grandpa Leroy.
So, Papa Leroy, that was that guy. But then also, once my sister became a mother, that was a beautiful moment. That was a different kind of love that I've seen. Like, mother's love is different. So, her and my mom, now that she's found a healthy relationship to be in, so it's cool watching her come into herself at 49. It was just like,
and I feel like, as you, is everyone out the house now?
Yeah. Everybody's
so
at
that
the house.
Too. It's like it gives her space to.
Yeah, and I've always been the one to tell her. I was like, "Mom, you need to find somebody." I said, "I don't know if it's Christian Mingo. Go to a church. Go to a cafe.
Blackpeoplemeet.com.
Blackpeoplemeet.com.
Farmers only.
Oh my goodness!
Look,
that commercial's catchy.
It really is. Yeah, and I think other than that, like I always admired. Diana Ross too, and how she always talks about how she raised her kids and understood, like, growing up in the spotlight, like, how do I still maintain my kids to still be kids and let them do and not have to live in my limelight? So that's another.
But yet they've all gone on to be great,
honestly and truly. Like, I mean, they're becoming progressively whiter, but like, you know, it's kind of weird. That's another story for another day.
They're also,
you watch Mix Dish, right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, such a great show.
Tracy could still catch.
Oh, I love me some Tracy Ellis Ross.
The whole deal.
Oh, is that your celebrity cheat?
I got my celebrity cheat. Who's my celebrity cheat, babe?
I really feel like it's either between SZA or Ari Lennox.
It's SZA.
It is.
Ari Lennox isn't a cheat because we're going to do that together. We're going to conquer that.
Oh, you do care about my bisexualness.
Yes, that's some real shade butter baby love right there.
I suck a whole fart out of her butt.
It just smelled like cocoa butter.
Her fart probably smells like cocoa butter.
Honestly and truly, and that would probably clear your skin, to be honest.
So come on, sit on me. Sit on me.
I can't.
Other than that, Neo is like the other person. I know he's
such a problematic thing.
Oh, when I was a kid, Neo was like, that was like the ultimate gentleman in my eyes.
That's because you didn't see him with the hat off. But once he took that hat off, you
were like, first of all, we're not about to do that. And he played a really great role in Stomp the Yard. I think he did it.
No, you know, he did. I forgot about that. But see, I had this bootleg, right? So, because
we didn't see everything.
No. I saw everything.
You got that one person walking across.
No, see, that's what happened. We got the bootleg from the barbershop, right?
And when Chris Brown got shot. 5 for $20.
That's right. And when Chris Brown got shot, right?
Yeah.
Some nigga stood up in front of the camera and was like, "Yo, they shot that nigga." Like in the bootleg, so like I can't watch.
I love black people.
I have not watched Stomp the Yard after that because like it's sullied for me.
I love black people.
He was like, "Honestly, yo, they shot that nigga." I was like, "Damn, yeah."
And you weren't even upset.
So Neo. Yeah.
Thank you once again.
Yo, they shot that nigga.
Thank you once again for coming.
Oh, I do have what I'd love to like end off with, like, how do you define black love?
Well, because so normally we have a book called God Wears Durags Too.
I bangs with that.
I forgot it. Because it's a book of quotes and words to inspire and motivate, but because our conversation was about how black love is revolutionary,
I kind of had a quote, so I feel like love cannot exist without vulnerability.
Kind of what I think off of that. What is your takeaway? What is your word of advice to instill love, whether intimately or within your community or personally? What is your word of advice?
I guess I would say probably allow yourself to... Because I feel there's so much that goes into it for me, because I'm just like, you got the physicality of it, but like what goes beyond that portion of it too. So I guess when it comes to black love, just allow yourself to love radically. Like, and I just mean radically in terms of knowing that, telling yourself every single day you get up, like, you deserve to have love. Like, I don't think black people tell themselves enough, like, you deserve love. You have the audacity to be loved. And tell yourself you're the prize. Like, working through this trauma every day, being able to find that smile at least once a day. Like, I tell myself, I smile once a day, I know I had a good day.
It's
simple shit like that that gets me through, to be honest. But tell yourself, like, you deserve this. This is, it's a human thing. It's a human emotion. So you deserve to be loved is something black people need to continue to tell themselves and reimagine what love looks like without trauma.
Yeah, that's a bar, nigga.
You know, we out here and shit. Dropping.
Guy got the do-rag and it's flowing in the way.
You know, Mother Nature didn't want to work with my hair today, but like.
I think mine is
natural.
That's why I got my hair out, girl. You can do whatever. But yeah, yo, also I got these locks for sale, bro. So if you need dreadlocks, if you try to get
can
that.
We not sorry. Sell all right,
back
locks?
To my back to my back
so
to
so my I went so I went to a loctician for the first time, cuz I first of all, I've always been doing my locks. Ever since I started growing my locks, I've been doing my locks.
Yeah.
So I went to a loctician and I was like, "Hey, my boyfriend, he cut his locks off. Like after 5 years, he just cut them off." "Oh, you know we can get those for like $250-$300." Exactly.
So I've been trying.
You see that face? Exactly.
No, I feel, cause like I'm gonna start my lock journey soon.
So yo, nigga, listen.
That's my that's my first form of like full commitment to like myself.
Bro, I'm trying to tell you, yo, you can go from centimeters to inches in seconds if you just buy my dreadlocks.
You can holler at me. Look.
That ain't I get you for the friends and fam rate too.
Right, right, exactly.
I get you for friends and fam real shit. We gonna take that offline. We gonna talk about that after the episode.
Yeah, that's actually like, that's how I'm working on my, so it started out of growing my hair out. It's like, here's my form of self-love.
And it's beautiful. Okay.
Yes. But this has been 3 years of growing this. And so it's just like, all right, how do I start committing to myself? And like my locks, locking my hair is gonna be my first, I'm like, doing like a couple different, I'm doing twists and braids and trying to figure out. I'm playing around with it before I fully commit to it, but I know like 2020, I told myself I'm committing to myself in a way that is for me.
Yeah.
It's still political, but it's, this is,
and you got
I
your
think
control.
That's the same.
This is my control.
It's in
over.
Your control.
That's the same.
I deserve.
I locked mine. Was it 24? Yeah, I think that's when I. Yeah.
Wow,
I don't know numbers, yo.
That's okay.
I'd be writing.
It was 24.
Numbers. Yeah, 24 years old is when I grew my locks.
And then 5 years later,
wow,
cut it off.
Yeah. So my my piece of advice, my takeaway when it comes to love being revolutionary and instilling it within my people and my community is that love is work and the work is worth it. I think people misunderstand when you're in an intimate relationship. They think, you know, this shit's all roses and unicorns and butterflies and rainbows shooting out your asshole. But the reality is, like, that shit takes a lot of work. And the work, the journey, when you think even, like, you know, rest in peace to Kobe, but it makes me think of like Mamba mentality, like the journey, the work, the hustle, the grind is what's worth it. That's the important piece, because the end result is always going to change. Yeah. You're gonna hit this point and you'll be like, shit, what's the next level, you know? So the actual work, the time and the effort that you pour.
My ass
no, because that's a fact. Because I get so annoyed by like our hookup culture, and sometimes like I understand why it's a thing. I participate into it, but it's also just like the way we fervently like,
and it's like, bro,
keep situationships and not actually defining these things that require responsibility and a new set of boundaries.
Because like, then even the next step, it's like, all right, well, my next goal is marriage, and then I'm married. What the fuck is next?
Right.
The marriage does not matter. It's the journey that you make to get to that point. And the same matter.
I need to share this with my sister.
But the same piece, the same thing.
It's not going to all happen in one day.
Yeah. Love is work and the work is worth it. And yes. I think, you know, it's important that we continue to do the work and we don't get bogged down when the work does not result in what we thought it was going to.
Wow.
So.
You left me with
a. Let the church say, yeah.
With that.
Yeah. Yes.
But with that, yo, once again, This American Negro, we thank you for coming to the Entangled Podcast. We. You know, yo, give them your plugs. Go ahead. Plug yourself right quick.
So you can find me on any platform at Marquise Davon. That's MarquiseDavon. That's on Twitter.
For you niggas that can't spell.
Yeah, you know, because like it's not like MarkeeSe.
Yo, so I've seen Marquise spelled so many ways.
I've
taught for 6 years and they've all spelled them differently.
I'm sure.
Honestly and truly, and it makes me sad. But, you know, it's fine. Everybody got their flaws. Other than that, if you want to listen to This American Negro, it's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Dear Redding stylized as Dear RDG is also happening. We're going to be having a Black Love event, so this conversation was very timely.
Very timely.
We're going to have a Black Love event where we talk about love of community, love of self, love of partners.
Yes.
How do you love a black woman? How do you redefine black masculinity as well? And that's going to be exciting. Other than that, just keep tuning in.
That sounds exciting.
American Negro _ on Twitter. Twitter is where I live, though. That's my favorite place.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. At 24? Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I don't be on Twitter.
Now at 29, I'm like, why am I here?
Yeah. Here's reality. One of my friends in my group chat.
I'm not going to lie to you. Sent, like, 24, I was there. Okay.
One of my friends in the group chat screenshot something and was like, yo, Elijah, if they ever cancel you, we know
this
why.
This is why.
Like, I was wildin', bruh. I'm glad you can't
Twitter
find
back
my,
in the day.
You
was,
can't find my Twitter no more.
Wild.
Like it's gone. Oh, yeah. It was actually I ain't even gonna say it.
2010. So
yeah.
I'm not even gonna say what the Twitter was. That shit was reckless though.
It was
a
literally that
nigga.
Period between 2009 2011 was just like a wild ass time.
Hey man, let's just say drugs are bad. And so yo, this is the motherfucking Entangle Podcast. We want to shout out This American Negro. We want to shout out Broad Street Soccer Club. You can hit them up on Instagram. BROADSTSC on Insta.
We want to shout out Netter Gold. Don't be ashy out here.
So
you know,
dry
it's still
ass
winter,
skin.
Okay.
Why you chicken?
I think about that all the time. Like, right. My black will not crack as long as you drink.
Twitter fingers turn to ashy fingers.
That's so
and
true.
And mind your fucking business.
And mind your business.
Yo, this is the motherfucking Entangled Podcast. We love y'all. Get the fuck out of here, bitch.
Rude.